Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
As we move into peak season for ticks in Massachusetts, anxiety over Lyme disease grows. For people who find a tick lodged behind their ear, knee, armpit, or some other warm spot, the focus is on getting a good diagnosis. Many doctors who see a lot of Lyme say figuring who has it and who doesn't is pretty routine. But a closer look at the process and the tests show that diagnosing Lyme disease is not an exact science. This morning, we begin with a story from WBUR's Martha Biebinger as we wrap up the last day of our series, Living with Lyme.
On Memorial Day weekend, 15-year-old Zachary Tenrero ran back and forth to the beach through tall grass around his grandmother's house in Wareham. 3 weeks later, Zachary's legs hang limply off an exam table as his pediatrician, Jennifer Hyde, in Mansfield takes notes.
So can you tell me when the fever started?
Yesterday, Zachary mumbles. He's groggy after a near sleepless night when his fever hit 104.6.
Yeah, and did you have any cold symptoms or anything before the fever started?
Hyde moves quickly through the checklist of symptoms Zachary does not have. No congestion, vomiting, or diarrhea. He's not achy and does not have a stiff neck.
Do you live in an area where there are deer or ticks?
Zachary's mother, Maria Tenrero, jumps in.
We were down the Cape where there's deer and ticks, so...
Tenrero says the family always checks for ticks.
But no tick bites that you noticed.
Tenrero shakes her head.
I don't think to check their hair because he's got so much hair.
Yeah, he's got a lot of hair.
Yeah. I don't even know if I'd see it.
Zachary did not notice a tick or a rash. Hyde pauses, then tells Zachary he could just have a virus.
But typically if we have fever and headache and not really very strong cold symptoms or stomach stuff, we usually do look for the Lyme, especially if there's been a chance you were somewhere where there were ticks.
So my other son found a tick on his sock.
Hyde sends Zachary for a blood test. If Zachary has Lyme, his blood work would show that he's producing antibodies. Tests for Lyme do not detect the disease itself. They look for Lyme antibodies, proof that the body is or has been fighting the disease. A few hours before Zachary came in, Hyde had a patient with the telltale bullseye rash that screams Lyme disease. She put that boy on antibiotics without ordering a Lyme test.
Then there's no point to testing because the test is unreliable. Because the Lyme antibodies haven't formed yet. It's too early.
But, so says Hyde, for Zachary, the test makes sense.
With fever this high, your body's making lots of anti-Lyme antibodies, and it should be there.
That's if Zachary has Lyme. Hyde offers to start antibiotics right away, but Zachary's mother declines.
I get very nervous with antibiotics. We don't use them. Unless we absolutely have to.
Tenrero says she'll fill the prescription Hyde hands her if Zachary's test is positive.
If it's going to present, it will, right? I mean, there's no way to miss it through blood.
Maria Tenrero just asked a blockbuster question, which I posed to Dr. Philip Malloy, the medical director at Immugen, a Norwood lab that specializes in testing for tick-borne diseases.
You can't miss it when it's late. In the first weeks, you can be fooled.
Malloy, who is also a rheumatologist in Plymouth, says doctors can get fooled for up to 2 months after a patient is infected with Lyme because some antibodies show up right away and others take their time.
It's not a reflection of a poor blood test. It's a reflection of you haven't made antibodies yet. You can't find what isn't there. And your body's immune system takes a week or two to digest this germ and to activate its immune system and produce the antibodies that are diagnostic.
Lyme is a two-part test. The second, more definitive part may be negative even once a patient has a fever or headache if the patient's antibodies are slow to respond. So Malloy and several infectious disease doctors interviewed for this story recommend a second test for patients whose symptoms persist. The test that most doctors say confirms or rules out Lyme produces a strip that Malloy says looks kind of like a barcode.
So these are, there's some weak positives here. This test can only be interpreted in the context of a patient and their EIA results.
Malloy slips into the medical language that many patients with Lyme learn to speak. His point in looking at these strips with some strong dark bands and some bands that are a faint gray is that knowing when to test for Lyme and how to balance test results against a patient's symptoms can be tricky for doctors.
There's room for being led astray or being confused. And there's so much paranoia from my patients who spend time on the internet that they sometimes just throw their hat up and say, I want treatment.
And now, in partnership
one
with
patient, David Roth, is throwing $50,000 into a partnership with the nonprofit XPRIZE Foundation, hoping to find a better early-stage Lyme test.
Innovators from around the world will compete to create a rapid, reliable, standardized test that will revolutionize diagnosis, improve treatment, and save lives.
The organization that would decide whether to use a new test, the Infectious Disease Society of America, says it supports development of new ways to diagnose Lyme.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. So we'll be in touch. All right.
Zachary Tenrero is still sick. His fever just broke yesterday, 7 days after it spiked at 104.6. He developed a full-body rash, and the headaches continue. Zachary's Lyme test was negative, so Hyde ordered tests for mono, as well as two other serious tick-borne diseases, babesiosis and anaplasmosis. Hyde and the Tenreros are waiting. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.